You know, when you think of tequila, you think of margaritas. But did you know that the agave plant that gives us tequila meant survival to the rural people of Mexico? It gave them medicine, clothing, shoes, drink, weapons, cattle feed, fuel, even the roofs over their heads. And that's all from one plant. Well, author Lucinda Hudson is a woman with Mexico in her heart and a fascination with tequila in her soul. It's been a life work for her, and she's the author of Viva Tequila, Cocktails, Cooking, and Other Agave Adventures. Lucinda, good to talk to you.
Oh, Leanne, good to be with you.
So how did tequila get to you? How did this all begin?
Well, I grew up in the border, El Paso, but I've been traveling through Mexico for the last four decades. And the plant, oh, it's such an amazing plant to think the magical transformation of producing tequila from the agave plant. You know, it's like a 6-foot artichoke out in the field, and those leaves have to be whacked off to reveal this starchy core that looks like a huge pineapple. And then that has to be baked to produce the fermentable sugars for distillation. Pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And from what I understand, there's many different kinds of agave plants, but there's only one kind of agave that gives us tequila.
That's right. And that's the blue agave that's just grown in five states in Mexico. There are many other 400 varieties of agaves, like you mentioned, that have had so much historical significance. But one blue agave makes tequila.
Mm-hmm. So what is it that we should understand about tequila? Because I know there are different kinds, but I'm not quite sure what those differences mean.
Well, another amazing thing for a spirit is there are four distinct styles. Once it comes out of the still, you have that beautiful, clear Blanco tequila that's vibrant and bright. Once it's aged for a short while in oak, we get the Reposado, the gently reposed tequila. And if it's aged longer, for 1 to 3 years or more, we get the Extra Añejo that brown spirits people will love, more like cognac or a good brandy or scotch or bourbon. So there's the Blanco, the Reposado, the Añejo, and the Extra Añejo.
It sounds like the white tequila would be the thing to drink if I really want to taste what that plant is about.
I think that's true, Lynn. You know, it's peppery, it's bright, it's fresh, it's clear, but you should still taste the flavor of the agave. And, you know, we know what grapes and grain taste like, but what does agave taste like? It's yammy, it's herbaceous, it's floral, it's like baking yams with molasses in a clay pot with desert rain. I love it.
Oh, my. The thing that I was really intrigued by, too, is that that agave plant has to be 10 years old before you make tequila?
Yes, and think grapes and grain, one harvest, 1 year. This plant takes about 10 years to grow in the field, and it needs maintenance throughout that time. So it's a long process. This is a very special spirit.
And then it shoots up one shoot that turns into a flower, can go up, what, 20 feet?
Yes, but we don't want it to do that. That has to be cut off about 6 months before the harvest, because otherwise those sugars would go into the sky to feed this flowering stalk. So that has to happen in the field too. It's that central core that we want to get the starch from and the sugar waters that are within it.
Yeah, because I mean, with grapes, you cut the grapes off the plant, but the plant lives.
Yeah.
With agave, you kill the plant to get what you
drink. The plant is gone. It looks like a war zone when they harvest it.
So now let's talk blends or a mixto. For instance, I'm just thinking of one brand off the top of my head, Cuervo Gold. What is that? Is that pure tequila?
Well, what we want to look for is 100% agave tequila, which you will see on the bottle. If it doesn't say that on the bottle, it means that added sugars can be added to the tequila. And you see it has to have at least 51% blue agave, but 49% could come from added sugars. And so it's not a pure agave tequila. So I encourage people to look for one that says 100% agave on the label.
Are there brands that you particularly favor?
Oh my gosh, there's so many that I love, and it's kind of up to you, but I love Tapatio Tequila, I love T1, I love Siete Leguas, I'm still a fan of Herradura Tequila, but my gosh, it just depends on your taste. Don't let anybody tell you what to drink. You know, you just have to sip and savor and figure it out for yourself.
So now, I know that the famous way of drinking tequila is, you know, straight with, what is it, you suck then on a lime?
Well, A lot of people do that, but I prefer just sipping without the lime or salt or anything. But traditionally in Jalisco, if you order a shot of tequila,
and that's comes, where it's made, right? That's the
yes, Jalisco is the main state of the five states. And so if you order a shot of tequila in Jalisco, what comes to the table accompanying it is a shot of sangrita, a non-alcoholic chaser. And this is sangrita means little blood because it's ripe. Bright red, and it's just the quintessential chaser for tequila. It's salty and sour and piquant.
What's in it?
Well, the traditional recipe is fresh orange juice, lime juice, pomegranate juice, and hot red chili salsa.
Wow.
I use one called Valentina, but unfortunately you'll see people doing a Bloody Mary mix nowadays with tomato.
Ugh.
Mine has no tomato in it, so it's just so fresh and bright and delicious to sip at the same time with tequila.
Lucinda, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, Lynn, wonderful to be with you.
Viva Tequila is Lucinda Hudson's book, and she wants us to try a famous party punch recipe from the town of Guadalajara in Tequila's home territory of Jalisco. It's Guadalajara punch, and the recipe's on the website, splendidtable.org.